This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, we made it to Friday. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and Luke Sloan on the updates. John, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
How was your Thursday?
Kind of chill. No Tiger baseball?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just, hey, we now know who the Stanley Cup is going to be a rematch. And we also know that it's going to be interesting to see how the basketball side of things work out. Because this morning I woke up and there seemed to be a lot of panic, at least manufactured panic.
That's the key word.
In Indianapolis. Yeah.
How much pressure for them in game six now?
They are up 3-2. They're going home.
They've been the better team.
Yeah. And so it was, I kind of rolled my eyes a number of times as everybody was talking about, oh, there's so much pressure on Indianapolis. Ah, there is, but not any more than there was yesterday or the day before.
And it's still on the Knicks, who are in stave season.
Yeah. Yep. 1-0 in stave situations.
There you go.
The hockey, we get a rematch. Does that do anything for you?
Sure. It's so there's a gap in my basketball and hockey watching. But once you get to the NBA Finals, once you get to the Stanley Cup Final, I am really excited to see these matchups because I want to see who the champ is going to be. You're welcome, Greg. I know that you
are. You a stickler for this? For people who don't know, this is such a sports nerd
thing. I'm proud of you, John. That was great.
It's the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final.
Yes.
It's such a nerdy thing that I'm not surprised that Greg is a stickler for. Yes. I am surprised that you nailed it.
You are? I mean, you don't think I pay attention to detail?
I think you do, but I think you would look at that and go, that's...
Or details?
Details. That's a silly thing. Who cares? We get a rematch for just the third time in the expansion era of the NHL. Mm-hmm. So put it in the different terms. We had the Red Wings and the Penguins, and then we had the Oilers and the Islanders in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. What did those have in common? It was the breakthrough of a great young star, the passing of the torch. The Islanders dynasty cedes ground to Wayne Gretzky's first Stanley Cup. The Red Wings, very much a dynasty in the late 90s into the 2000s. Begrudgingly, we had to watch them pass the baton to Sidney Crosby, who won his very first Stanley Cup. So, John, the moment is clearly there for Connor McDavid to accept his place in hockey glory if the Oilers pull this off.
You know, when I saw that this morning, and we had the conversation about, you know, it was Sidney Crosby and, you know, the odds of where he ends up. Detroit was one of them. Now there were five or six in line of odds to land Sidney Crosby if he doesn't stay in Pittsburgh. Oh, whatever. It rekindled the fact that I don't want him here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to happen, but you wouldn't want him here?
No, it's just, first of all, as a traditionalist, I would love to see him play his entire career in Pittsburgh. For him, for the fans of Pittsburgh, which none of them I care about, other than just, I think that's the way storybooks should begin. That's the heart of the story and then the ending. That's how it should be. But in watching him skate around on the ice with the cup up and the Wings were on the, like, I just, okay, it rekindled the, I can't stand that guy.
And he had the little pencil mustache because he couldn't grow a beard.
Stop it, yes.
So yes, we'll get the Oilers, we'll get the Panthers. They'll start next Wednesday. The Stanley Cup final will begin and we will get a rematch. Dallas loses. This is now three straight Western finals they fall. Their coach, He said, I'm not going to blame it all on the goalie, but then proceeded to hang his goalie out to dry. He goes, he's lost 6 of 7 to Edmonton. He gave up 2 goals on 2 shots in an elimination game, and they yanked his ass out of the game. I like DeBoer, their coach. I'd point out that they have 3 30-goal scorers, and only one of them scored in the entire series. Where is Mikko Rantanen? Where is Wyatt Johnston, who was like a minus 5 for the series and a minus player for the postseason? They had bigger problems than their goalie, but
yeah, for this series. I mean, other than they're in the conference final.
Yeah, but so Dallas season ends, Edmonton's continues. John, we got a lot to talk about today. Got the cookie jar on a Friday, so have a little fun with that. I know Greg submitted a question. There's always a wild card when Greg submits a question.
Okay.
We got some good stuff in that today. We have Detroit sports head-to-head comparisons. I want to pit a couple of our teams against one another. We'll get in the boxing ring, and we'll settle it. But we also got some news yesterday that we have kickoff times for college football.
Yes, we do, and 6 of them are released for Michigan. And we know that Michigan State will start off again on Friday night.
Do you like that?
As a non-Spartan fan, yes, because it spreads out the games that I want to watch. There's nothing in conflict with me watching and getting a first introduction to this year's version of Michigan State football.
I think they like it for that reason too.
Yeah, I mean it's a
standalone. Yeah, they get their standalone, and then they can watch all the Saturday games at their leisure, whatever they want to focus on. I like it from a week one standpoint, because it feels kind of like you get to open a present on Christmas Eve when you play that Friday night. I think in season, though, you like those Saturdays. You like those on-campus Saturdays.
Oh, sure. Once you get into the regular season, because the thing about starting off on August 29 is most public schools are not in yet. Mm. And so it feels to me like when public schools are in, when all kids are going to school, that's when college football should only be on Saturdays. That's when the NFL should be Monday night. You get your Thursday night kickoff, and then you should be playing on Sundays until the end of the college football season, and then everything changes. And again, it seems normal at that time because there are specific dates that we associate all of this with.
Yes.
So playing on Friday night, it does feel like it's kind of a Christmas Eve present.
There's a cadence to football season, right? Like, and that's what you're talking about is the familiarity of, hey, my team's going to play on my Saturdays in the fall. And I'm a big proponent of Saturday campus games. I don't like neutral site stuff early in the season. I don't like playing on days that aren't Saturday once we get into the season, because those home Saturdays, the tailgating, the atmosphere, it's part of what makes college football unique. Mm-hmm. So to answer the question, I like it on Friday night for MSU for week one and week one only.
What I don't like is night games on Saturday. I've said that many times. Yeah, okay, old man screaming at the moon. That's fine. I understand that there's a lot of people that like the profile of playing primetime games. Great. As a player, no bueno. But especially when it's an opponent like New Mexico. I'm going to wait all day to watch Michigan, New Mexico.
Waiting all day
for New Mexico.
Doesn't really roll. I left you alone on that one.
I personally am excited. I'm a little surprised, by the way, that the Michigan-Oklahoma game is at 7:30. I was kind of anticipating that being a big noon kickoff.
Right, but so much of this is which network's carrying the game. So once you see it's ABC, they tend to put their big game at night. And it does feel like Michigan-Oklahoma is a game befitting of a night stage.
Sure, I get that. And it's even worse when it's a road game. But
poor John's gonna have to fly back after
again,
a night game.
Yeah, things that only affect me.
But it's Central Time.
It's still 7:30 Eastern,
as
was pointed out to me this morning. Thank you. And it's the late flight back that gets me. However, I do think there are going to be a lot of people that want to see Michigan, Oklahoma. They want to see Brett Venables is calling the defense for Oklahoma this year. His job is on the line. And I don't necessarily know that Sharon's job is on the line, but
it's a big year for him.
It's a big year for him. And this is the introduction of, Bryce Underwood, you play New Mexico. What are we going to learn? All right, we'll learn a little bit because it's our first introduction to him, but we'll learn a lot more because this game is against what used to be and maybe still is a blue blood program, and it's at Oklahoma. I am kind of excited again, when the world just revolves around me, that I'll be in Norman, Oklahoma, and I'll get a little extra time to explore campus. I've never been there. It's kind of a bucket list item for me.
Greg, you said you're going to that game too?
Yes, I'm going there with a couple of buddies. My good buddies, we're all going there. Jim, like you, my brother lives in Oklahoma City.
No kidding.
So we are, all four of us are going to the game, similar to when we went to the Penn State game a couple years ago. So I am excited that this is a 7:30 game because I would rather not stand in the same place looking in the same direction in the Oklahoma sun for 4+ hours in September. I'm glad it's a night game for that reason.
Yeah.
I've heard.
I hope there's good AC in the press box.
You'll be fine, John. I've heard it doesn't come up as like a top 5 or top 10 venue, but I've heard it's really nice. They've got like essentially an Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame adjacent to the stadium. Yeah. It's actually supposed to be a pretty cool setup down there. So,
it's one of those where, okay, it's now that USC is in the Big Ten, I get a chance to call a game at the Coliseum. Never been there. It's kind of a bucket list item. Norman, Oklahoma. In 2 years, it'll be traveling down to Austin, Texas, and being able to see that. Like, there are certain bucket list items as a college football fan. Now, if, and I know we're up against a break, the Big Ten and the SEC, some of the news that has come out about it, we're going to 16 teams, is it going to be 5? Is it going to, you know, and 11? All that stuff. It's very confusing. It's nauseating.
Yep.
But to think that there's possibly going to be a partnership between the Big Ten and the SEC for a one game. They go to a 9-game conference schedule. Big Ten stays that way. A 1-game crossover every single year, and then 2 non-conference games. Now all of a sudden it opens up the opportunity to possibly go to Tuscaloosa, to possibly go to Baton Rouge. Like, those are some of the destinations that I would love. And I know college football fans in the Big Ten, if you haven't had a chance to go to those, it opens up that opportunity, like going to Norman or to SC or some of the other schools that they're playing.
I hear excitement in your voice, and that feels rare when we're talking about college sports these days.
Oh, yeah.
We can explore it a little bit coming up next. We got open lines, 248-539-9797. It's a Friday. It's 97.1. Guys, if you're injured in a car accident, the law firm you decide on can make the difference between getting fully compensated, being taken care of properly, or struggling to pay your bills and dealing with that pain alone. I want to tell you about a law firm out there that truly cares about you. It's KG Law. I know Lawrence KG. I've met his team. They're going to get you the biggest possible payout, and they're going to take care of you every step of the way. They're not going to leave you in the dark. These cases can take some time. They're not going to try to get you a quick buck. They're going to try to get you the biggest payout possible. The phone number is 877-KG-CARES, online at kgcares.com. You'll see the testimonials and you'll see the stories I'm talking about. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com. That's kgcares.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was interesting to hear some excitement in your voice, John, when we talk about kick times, college football season, Michigan State. Some times came out yesterday. I feel kind of guilty because I don't have the usual excitement for college football. And I don't know if it's all the other headlines I'm reading this week, like the SEC's ridiculous statements about the state of the sport, the rumors of a 16-team playoff that feel all but a guarantee starting in 2026. And we're losing our way. Some of this is good. A lot of this feels like we're losing control of the sport.
Of almost every sport.
Yeah.
In college athletics. And you heard the excitement in my voice. I get excited, and I'm stealing this a little bit from Doug Karsh,
yeah,
where Sunday through Friday, it's college sports, college football is exhausting. And is it going to be 4 teams? Is it going to be 6, 8, 12 we're at right now? Is it going to be 16 teams in the playoffs? College conference expansion? All of this, and trying to figure out where players are. anymore. It's exhausting. And there's been articles written about the what position groups. I don't know if you saw the, there was an article, I think it was in ESPN or maybe it was CBS, that talked about the degraded play of offensive lines because of the transfer portal.
Sure, continuity, guys, development, you know, doesn't exist. Yeah.
It is a position. And I would argue it's offensive lines, it's the secondary on defense where you have to, you got to have some camaraderie. You got to have that communication. You've got to be able to develop guys and see things through basically one eye set. And then if you have five guys that, okay, not everybody is a freshman and goes to a senior, you don't have that continuity, but you have guys that have played 2, 3, 4 years together. And I think offensive line play is suffering. Defensive back play, at least how they operate together, is suffering.
And that does bleed into your Saturdays. Yeah. To you know, push back on the Doug Karsh of it all, where, hey, Saturdays are still Saturdays. If I don't have a familiarity with my roster because of the portal, okay, there's always been turnover in the sport. But if it's going to seep into the quality of play, specifically in the trenches on the offensive line, that does hurt the product. Now I throw in, the thing that bothers me the most is 16 teams is too much. I thought 8 was perfect. I would deal with 12. We're going to 16. It feels like all but inevitable. You know what 16 teams means? Alabama last year, yeah, who lost to Vandy in Oklahoma.
And Michigan in a bowl game.
They're in.
Yeah.
Right? Ole Miss with 3 losses. These schools are in. So what do Saturdays mean if I can lose 1, 2, 3, even 4 in a 16 team? I can lose a third of my games and still make the college football playoff. It's a delicate dance. Yeah, but it's a delicate dance. I got to trade some of the regular season to improve the postseason, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to give up too much of the regular season, watering it down completely. That's my issue right now with the sport.
It is, and I the counter is one of the things that I mentioned before, where if the SEC and the Big Ten play crossover games.
Yeah.
Like, if you are a 3-loss team, but let's just say it's Ohio State, and one of those losses is to, just for fun, let's say Michigan, or Penn State, or Tennessee, if Tennessee is a national caliber team.
Yeah.
Like, then you could sit there and say, well, okay, those are 3 tough opponents. And at the same time, if Wisconsin and Iowa are the teams of the past where they beat those teams.
Yeah.
Like, now you can start to manufacture, I understand, a 3-loss team because of the difficulty, John, of the schedule, but I think those seasons and those situations are going to be extremely rare.
I like the idea of getting the SEC to 9 games, getting more marquee games, a crossover with the Big Ten. I like that the Big Ten now has matchups with Michigan and USC and Ohio State and Oregon. Like, these are better Saturdays. What I don't like is losing them doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what gets me, is losing them doesn't matter. And Greg Sankey's at the front of this going, well, not losing versus playing a tough schedule. Not losing is the same thing as winning. Winning is more important than playing a tough schedule. Actually, winning those head-to-head games should come with great rewards. But it doesn't really matter if you win them or lose if you got 16 teams, because you can lose them and be just fine. Mm-hmm. That's the frustration that I have that's growing with the sport. And I'm sure some of you guys are out there feeling similar ways. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Exciting news. The winner of the Scripps National Spelling Bee has been crowned. So after flubbing a chance to win earlier in Thursday's final, a 13-year-old from Texas came back and was victorious.
Oh.
Faizan Zaki, who was actually the runner-up last year, so came in as kind of like a favorite, right? What?
This is kind of like Connor McDavid. Right? A rematch, a chance to be glory.
Yep. Well, he nearly threw it away. He got a little overconfident in the 8th round, didn't take the time he needed to ask some questions, was like, I know how to spell that, and then instantly knew as soon as he started spelling, he didn't spell it right. But thankfully, none of the other contestants got their word right either. So it went on to like 10, 11 rounds. And he won spelling a word that I've never even heard of. It's a French word, I think.
Can you pronounce it?
I listened to it on my phone.
he spelled a word we can't even pronounce.
Éclaircissement.
What?
Éclaircissement.
Okay. Oh. Language of origin?
Wow. If only French. Stoney was here to bust into a French song.
Anyway, he spelled it right, was still pretty confident going into it. Didn't take time to ask questions, but he spelled it right. He pumped his fists in the air and collapsed to the stage when he said the final letter, knew that he was the winner. He won $52,500. I think he also got some money to go towards the school he's going to attend, college that he'll attend.
In the future.
So it's interesting. Like I said, he was the runner-up last year. So last year, he got $25,000. And you want to know what he bought? His splurge item? A $1,500 Rubik's Cube. No lie. This year, he says he's going to donate a large portion of his winnings to charity.
Nerd.
Yes, John, a nerd won the spelling bee. Breaking news.
God, I hope my kids are nerds.
I get myself
and can spell
a new book.
Éclair, c'est ma. I hope they can spell that.
You got to get Emily practicing now.
Yes. Just get her saying it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one thing leads to another.
I hope. I did this last week, or maybe it was earlier this week, talking about the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Well, there is another report that says America's most misspelled words are definitely, separate, and necessary. Mm. Those are the top three misspelled words. And then it looked at every single state to find which word in what state is most misspelled. And in Michigan, it's scratch.
Scratch?
I know.
They get sniff right, but scratch is wrong.
They're all easy words in every state. Different tomorrow. Quesadilla?
Quesadilla?
Yeah.
Just put a bunch of S's and L's and let's spell check fix
Congratulations.
It.
That was on
scratch?
There last week.
How do you spell scratch wrong? Come on.
They put a K in there?
Yeah. S-K?
Temperature's on there. Appropriate. Daughter. Crochet. Scissors. Like, they're all Skizzers. Easy words. No. Like, they're nothing crazy. Yeah. Vermont, why they want to spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is beyond me, but that's the word they can't spell. Anyway, okay. In other news, an investigation is underway in Macomb County after a body was pulled from the Clinton River. Yeah, a person called 911 Thursday afternoon after spotting what appeared to be 2 feet in the middle of the river. So deputies responded to this area under the southbound Gratiot Avenue Bridge in Mount Clemens and confirmed that, yes, indeed, what the witness saw was, in fact, a human body. Right now, unclear how long the person has been deceased, how they died. Everything remains under investigation.
It's Heather with the news. All right, part of our show today, we're going to have some Detroit sports head-to-heads. We're going to pit a couple of our teams against one another in a steel cage match where only one survives. We'll do the first head-to-head next. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's First Inning Friday on FanDuel, where every week FanDuel is hooking all customers up with a special offer you can use on early game Major League Baseball action. Put your baseball knowledge to the test from the very first swing with no runs and yes runs first inning bets. Will anyone score in the game's first inning? Check each team's season stats right on the FanDuel app and make your own call. Every First Inning Friday, you can expect a special reward like a profit boost, no sweat bet, and more. So make sure and come back every week to take another swing. Just visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit, America's number one sportsbook, and make every moment more. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to have some fun on this Friday. We've got a couple Detroit sports head-to-head questions. Let's get into it. We will pit Detroit teams head-to-head in a steel cage match to the death. The first matchup I will lay out for you, John. Standing in the Honolulu blue corner, We have a team off a 15-win regular season with no playoff win. Mm-hmm. A hungrier, healthier team stocked with all pros, but a difficult schedule and brand new coordinators. Led by football's stone cold Steve Austin, it's the zero-time Super Bowl champion Detroit Lions. Their opponent in this head-to-head contest, standing in the other blue corner, the four-time World Series champions, led by the best pitcher on planet Earth, and a manager who may or may not be an actual wizard. The team with the best record in baseball, a deep, resilient squad that has already won series against the Yankees, Padres, Mariners, Giants, Cardinals, and Royals, but who's counting? It's the gritty Tigers. The question, who has the better chance to win it all between these two teams? John, who's your fighter?
Well, my fighter is the Detroit Lions. And it's not necessarily because I think they're that much further along than the Tigers are. I think both of them are really good teams. I think you have more, a higher grouping of high-end players for the Detroit Lions than you do with the Tigers. The Tigers have proven to be very consistent. I think it's more a function of, and you start looking at all of these different, you know, websites and different opinions. I saw one yesterday where it was the NFL.com had the Lions with the third most complete roster. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know, we've all talked about the edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
They got an edge issue?
Yes. Okay. I don't necessarily want to go down that road.
Know.
But other than that, and because nobody has a perfect roster, but they have one of the most complete rosters. They're coming off a season where they won 15. Not a lot of changes. I know the coordinators, but it's more a function of, do I believe in this world that we're talking about, who's got the best chance to win a title? Can they beat the top teams? Can they beat Philly? They won't be favored, but I believe they can. Can they beat Kansas City? They won't be favored, but I believe they can. Buffalo, Baltimore. I don't know that the other teams that are going to be competing for that title are that much further ahead of where the Lions are. Now, the Tigers. In the American League, I would say, they're the favorites, and they should. Will they be favored to beat the Yankees? They should be. Are they going to be favored to beat the Mariners? They should be. Now, okay, maybe there's a Cleveland issue, but I think they will be favored to win that as well. The problem comes when you start talking about the National League. And would they be favored against Philly or the Cubs? We'll get a chance to see the Cubs here in a few days. The Dodgers, certainly not. I think the Dodgers are further ahead of the Tigers than anybody else is ahead of the Lions.
That there is one super-duper team in baseball where you have a series of teams that are on fairly level footing in the NFL.
So insert salary cap conversation.
Right. Some of this, too, though, is both teams have that one glaring thing that we fixate on here. The edge guy for the Lions, the third base spot for the Tigers. The Tigers, could they add that at the deadline and change his conversation? Sure. But as we sit today, they haven't. And could Brad Holmes pull off a big move to add somebody opposite Aiden Hutchinson? Probably, but although he's told us he doesn't even understand the question why people would want another edge. I think the Lions are going to be who they are. This is their roster, which I think is a better roster than the Tigers. We're talking all pros, plural, up and down this Lions roster. I think they have the better roster, and I think they are on more level footing with the favorites in their sport. I also would say the Detroit Lions. But you guys can fill in the gaps and let us know. Choose your fighter more likely to win a title, Tigers or Lions, 248-539-9797.
This also brings up, I believe, a terrific question that you posed to me before we got on the show. When you're talking about trying to win a championship or win your division, win your conference, it's who's got the better coach? Because we've talked about this, right? Coach of the year. We've had a whole bunch of runner-ups.
Yeah.
Haven't had a coach of the year. I think maybe this is the year where maybe it is the year of the coach of the year here in Detroit, but are the Tigers in a better position to win it all because what we have seen A.J. Hinch do?
Do you think A.J.'s a better coach manager than Dan Campbell?
I think the sample size says yes.
Okay.
In regards to the fact that we just talked about all of the all pros, all of the high level talent that the Tiger or that the Lions have. It doesn't mean that Dan Campbell's a bad coach. It's not that conversation. Mm-hmm. The conversation is I think AJ Hitch has done more with less. And I think when we watch the matchups, we talk about him being a wizard. We talk about all the moves that he makes that just simply seem to work.
Yeah.
And the sample size is a little bit larger because last year, no offense, one pitcher. They make it to the postseason.
They win a series.
Yep. And now all of a sudden they have the best record in Major League Baseball with a similar roster. A couple of additions, but nothing earth-shattering. Now you look at the Lions and you say, well, and I like the aggressive nature of Dan Campbell, but could you say at the end of the first half against San Francisco 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game, maybe that's a position they should have gone for something more. And then in the second half, it's fourth and two. Maybe you don't throw the ball and you kick it. You do some different things and maybe he would have already had that Super Bowl.
So it's an interesting way of framing it because I would tell you AJ Hinch makes more big decisions and we complain about them less. So that probably says something about the rock solid logic that AJ Hinch uses. I would say it's AJ if you're asking me who's the better coach, but who's got the better roster to finish this thing out and win the whole title, world championship?
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions, which I think is why you and I both ended up on the Lions side of things. Now, I'm sure this will feed into Tom's narrative that we don't take the Tigers seriously enough, right? Like we don't take them seriously enough. Do you think it's the Tigers between the two teams?
Yes. And it's because I don't think the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
And you think the Tigers
so
are
going to. So I let that cat out of the bag. I necessarily don't think the Tigers are going to either. But if we're going to kick this can down the road, I get two chances out of the Tigers versus Lions one right now.
Why do you get two for the Tigers?
Because I get next year. Who's going to win it first?
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the Tigers with Skubal in these 2 years have a better chance. So I don't know if I'm cheating the system
there
a little bit.
No, it's a fair game. I'm fine.
I like the angle.
But I don't think the Lions are winning the Super Bowl this year. I think one of the biggest questions surrounding this team is their defensive coordinator. This guy has absolutely no experience at this job. And experienced defensive coordinators are the new thing winning Super Bowls. People kind of just overlook that. Go look at the last like 7-8 DCs that have won Super Bowls.
So off the top of my head, we're going Fangio last year, Spagnuolo with the
three
Chiefs.
Times. I mean, Raheem Mostert was with, or not Raheem Mostert, Raheem Morris was with the Rams, who is a very well-respected DC head coach. You're kind of, Todd Bowles was the DC under Arians.
Yep.
You know, I just think this is a humongous void on this team potentially when you also have guys who are kind of coming back from injury with McNeil and Hutch and everything playing against these QBs. I think the Lions are going to probably still win the North and get in the playoffs, but
come up short.
Yeah, but hold on. Late in the season, those coordinators won't feel new. They will have established their own spin on Dan Campbell's philosophy. It will still be Dan Campbell's philosophy. The way the schedule sets up, they're going to take some lumps early, and we're going to have some people on the ledge early. The schedule late is going to let them pick up some steam. So they'll win the division. Yeah, I expect them to go 5-1. They'll win the division. They'll have at least one home playoff game, and they'll be playing better ball late in the season. McNeil will be back from the injury at that point and have a month plus under his belt of playing live NFL football. I actually think they're set up to finish a lot stronger than they did and a lot stronger than they're going to start.
I can buy that.
And I don't know how the Tigers are going
to
finish.
Do we
know how the Tigers are going to finish? Because they also have postseason questions.
But with the Lions, you're talking about in this situation going on the road in the playoffs. This team hasn't won a road playoff game since 1957. Okay, the bottom line is I got a lot of ammo in my back pocket here to say why the Lions won't win the Super Bowl. Therefore, I think the Tigers have the better chance.
Okay. But then is it simply because of coordinators? Is that
the
issue?
Guys,
it's specifically defensive coordinator, he's saying.
No, I know.
So I think they're going to have to win a road playoff game. I don't think they can. I think Kelvin Shepard has a lot on his plate versus John Morton. Look, Dan Campbell's going to take care of the offense, and it might have a few hiccups early in the year. They had a slow start last season offensively, the first two games. But defensively, I think they're going to be challenged this year. And I have big Terrion Arnold problems right now. And I don't until I see it, I've got so many question marks. That's why I don't think the Lions will win the Super Bowl. I think this is going to be a year of, you know what? We know we've got a good, consistent annual playoff team, but it's not going to happen this year. And I've got QB questions at this point. After what I saw last year in that playoff game, that game is in that guy's DNA two or three times a season.
But so that overrides what you saw in the postseason prior to that.
Yeah. Because
both of those are in his DNA.
I know. But I'm going to get Jared Goff's. I feel like Jared Goff's going to let us down when it all comes down to it. I mean, we talk about winning a Super Bowl here.
Sometimes they just relish in negativity.
Well, he's a tier two quarterback. He's not a tier one. So you have
flaws. They almost like relish in negativity at
times. I think I ruined the day for everybody here. I know the disco was happening last year. This isn't last year.
I'm okay if someone wants
to answer
Tigers. We're
all for double-digit wins. They don't have to all be by double digits.
I'm cool if you want to make the case for the Tigers. Tom is making that case. We made the case for the Lions. You got two teams chasing a title in the city of Detroit, so we decided put them head-to-head in the steel cage match. Greg will have a poll question up. We want your phone calls, your reasons behind it. Is it the Lions? Is it the Tigers? The team more likely to win a title? It's 97-1.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break up the heat. Made with a real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's really easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurant, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Detroit sports head-to-head question. We got two teams chasing a championship. It's the Tigers, it's the Lions. We put them in a steel cage match, and we ask you guys, choose your fighter. Better chance to win it all. We'll get to the phones. We got ticket text. John and I said the Lions. Tom said the Tigers. Tony in Ferndale, you're on 97.1.
Hey, morning, everyone. How's it going today?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Tom, you had me there for a second until you started Jared Goff slander at 7 in the morning in May. But, I think right now the Lions would be my pick. But I got to be honest, if the Lions don't go and take a shot at the title this year and the Tigers keep trending upward and have a deep playoff run this year, possibly even a World Series appearance, this conversation next year is going to be a lot different, I think. The Tigers might be more favorable because the Lions, as much as I don't like to say the window is closing, you know, if we don't go out and win a championship this year, we might be in some trouble of how longevity, how much fun. What's that?
It was our greenie drop. I think they missed their window. I think the Lions have a couple years with the current nucleus.
Yeah, they're so young, and they still have yet to lose anybody that they've drafted that's a Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber player.
And it feels inevitable that they will, but that's at least 2 years away,
before they start losing
some of these key guys. Look, I think they're going to have a couple cracks at this with this core, and I think the Tigers, to their credit, are going to have a few cracks at this as well. But the Scooble thing looms large with that. It may only be a two-year window with Scooble.
Right.
So I think that levels the playing field. Ticket Texter took issue with Gov as well, saying, are we really calling Goff a tier two quarterback? To which I would say yes.
Yes.
He is a tier two quarterback. It doesn't mean you can't win a Super Bowl with him, but you need to do other things around him.
I would say Jalen Hurts is a tier two quarterback, and what did he just do?
Won a Super Bowl. And they have great trench play, which the Lions have to have non-negotiable.
Oh, maybe if we had Jalen Carter, we would too.
I get more Jalen's apparently.
Hey, I got to make a mission here. I knew this was going to happen. I'm a little more down on this team than you guys. And not that I'm negative or don't think they're going to have a good season.
At least you're not calling
us dishonest. I honestly feel like I'm turning heel.
No.
I do. I feel like I'm Hogan going to the NWO or John Cena recently turning heel. It's like, I'm sorry, guys. I can see the flat-out disappointment in John's face.
Well, I can't speak for John. I'll tell you this. I don't. You're your own man. It's okay to think a little differently. Yeah. It's okay to have a little more concern. Like
disagreement on a show?
Yeah, it's perfectly healthy.
Yeah. So I will. One thing that is in your favor is when we talk about the Lions, there's a lot of ifs because they're not playing right now. This might be a great question to bring back.
September?
It's in September. After we have a couple of samples of the Detroit Lions actually on the field where we don't know. And you know, okay, I'll just use the word if the coordinators are going to be effective, are they going to be able to keep the trains on the track offensively and defensively? If Terrion Arnold takes a step forward, if Aiden Hutchinson is going to be the Aiden Hutchinson that we saw in the first five games, all of these ifs, if Jared Goff.
Yeah, I think there's fair questions with the Tigers too, though.
Right, but we get a chance to see it every day, and we get confirmation. We get a chance to watch this team not perform well, which doesn't happen often, and then respond.
Yeah, like it's funny. The Lions won 15 games in the regular season last year, and we were like pinching ourselves every week. Doesn't that feel familiar? Like the Tigers are very much a pinch yourself team right now. And it's because every day you get to see them answer questions. Can Javi keep this up? Can Tort keep this up? The answer has been yes. Yes, they've been able to continue to pull from different guys on different days and show how deep of a baseball team they are. The question will be, you only play, you know, one at-bat at a time in the postseason, and your depth is nice, but you got to deliver in those key moments, and they didn't last year against the Guardians. We can foresee a series with Cleveland in the postseason. The other series that they lost in a sweep was the Dodgers. We can foresee a matchup with the Dodgers in the World Series, and they're going to play with their food and win 100 games. There is no Dodgers in the NFL. There is no team that is so much head and shoulders better than everybody in the NFL that I think that's the reason I went with the Lions.
Look, I get a lot of Tom on the air and off the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are good points that he brought up.
The
coordinator is a big part, especially the defensive coordinator and Terry Nard and everything. I just got the tone from the take that they cannot win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was a little...
Because I said so.
It's not likely that you win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, the odds are stacked against you. But
fight behind the glass. Here we go. Turn the cameras.
No Mortal Kombat.
No intended tone. It's just because I'm confident in my opinion doesn't mean that I'm preaching the gospel here. It's called passion. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Mark. Another reason, though, I think I would take the Tigers here. It's like in my reasoning for picking the Tigers, did I hardly mention the Tigers? I hardly did. Yeah. It was all about the Lions question marks. I think they've got so many questions. But the Tigers, I think the odds of them facing an easier path are far greater in baseball. Like the Arizona Diamondbacks represented the National League a couple years ago. The crapshoot that can happen in baseball on getting an easier path, like the Texas Rangers, that helped them win a World Series that year. You know, out of nowhere.
And in the NFL, you will play someone from the AFC, and there's quite a few heavy hitters in the AFC.
Yeah, in the NFC, look, I would say right now the odds are, I'm not quite sure who I'm picking to represent the NFC. I could even see the Lions getting there, but you're saying about winning it, right?
Yeah, well, we've said that. We think the Tigers could get there.
Right, but the issue if the Tigers get there is it's most likely going to be the Dodgers. And I'm with you. In a three-game series, anything can happen. In a seven-game series, that's a completely different situation and different story.
It's almost an automatic that an AFC elite QB is waiting for you.
Yes.
In baseball?
And yet I still think the Dodgers are better than any of those AFC teams.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
The Dodgers, I think they're head and shoulders above everybody. There's no salary cap.
We all said that they could flirt with the breaking the record.
Yeah.
But they're not.
They're not. And they have John made this point off the air. They have so much pitching injured right now. They're just going to get through the regular season, and then they're going to throw fireballs at you for nine innings.
Padres took them to five last year. I mean, look, the way baseball is, it's the playoffs are way more of a crapshoot. The Dodgers aren't as automatically going to be there. As an elite quarterback's waiting the Lions.
Okay, I want to get some ticket texts and some phone calls. Ticket texter saying, I agree with Tom. It's going to be one of those down years for the Lions. We'll bounce back the year after and win the Super Bowl. Same thing the Eagles went through on their journey. I agree that the Lions aren't going to win the Super Bowl. I'll be rooting for them, but I look at last year, and even before the injuries, the defense let teams go up and down the field. They weren't scoring a lot of points, but it scares me how teams could move the ball on this defense even healthy. Texter says, I like the Tigers, but I don't trust that bullpen when you break it down. I don't trust them in the playoffs. Brebbia pitching to Judge in a key moment? Come on. And a texter says, if we're going to highlight Goff blowing it in the playoffs, how about Scooble?
I was going to bring that up.
Serving up a grand slam in the biggest game of your season. Give me the Lions all day. That's Dennis at the gym.
Yeah. He's also got that in his DNA.
Mike and Troy, you're on 97.1. You're good. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. Hey, wonderful day, wonderful weather. Great weekend coming up. Guys, like I told the screener, I got to go with A.J. Hinch over Dan Campbell, hands down. A.J. Hinch is the best manager in baseball. He worked with nothing. He got him to the playoffs last year. He beat Houston. Yes, he lost to Cleveland in five games. But with the Lions, a lot of question marks. With the coordinators gone, the other coaches gone, the injuries, we don't know if Hutchinson is going to be back 100%. We got to see it on the field. McNeil's not there. New players there. But the bottom line is I see the Tigers winning the World Series over the Lions. I have to agree with Tom, guys.
Okay. I get it, and it's we get a chance to see every day what the Tigers are doing, what AJ is doing, and I think there's a chance that this offense for the Lions could be better this year. Another year of development for J-Mo, for Gibbs, Montgomery used, and maybe how they use them, but I think this offensive line could be better this year.
Our poll question, which you guys can vote in, it's going to be up all show long and we'll tally it up. Our poll question had the Tigers winning this early. Okay. If you want the betting odds of this question, it's really close, John. The Lions currently are 9-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Tigers are plus 950 to win the World Series.
Oh.
Razor's edge.
Yeah.
So we'll tally it up. We have our part two of Detroit Sports Head to Head.
Part two.
Coming up next. Break out that steel cage again. Mortal Kombat! It's 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.